It's the ice storm, the Alberta floods, Hurricane Sandy, Typhoon Hainan. In Canada and around the world, extreme weather phenomena are getting more frequent. And according to my next two guests, more damaging. Ronald Stewart and Daniel Scott are here in Ottawa to present their ideas to parliamentarians in just over half an hour. And at lunchtime, they'll take their message to Ottawa City Hall. Daniel is the director of the University of Waterloo's Interdisciplinary Centre on Climate Change, and Ronald is a professor in the Department of Environment and Geography at the University of Manitoba. Welcome to Ottawa. Welcome to Ottawa Morning.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for coming in. Ronald, if I could start with you. First of all, what constitutes extreme weather as opposed to, say, normal Canadian weather that some people would say is just normally extreme?
Extreme weather is actually even more abnormal than the normal. I'm from Winnipeg, so we're used to extremes in some ways, but we actually sometimes have weather conditions which are way beyond the norm. So that's a normal definition. Something like the top 5% or the top 1% or the lowest 1% or the return period of that event may be 100 years. So there are different measures of how you classify an extreme event.
But it is quantifiable. It's not just a feeling one gets that this is a particularly cold winter.
It's very quantifiable, but the thresholds do vary depending on who you are in some sense.
So you're from the prairies. So you might think our weather here is kind of lightweight. But nevertheless, what can we expect in the way of extreme weather in sort of the near to long term?
Well, I think you already alluded to it. We're concerned there might be more of extreme weather events. Just in Manitoba, for example, we've had two catastrophic flooding events in the last 4 years, for example. And we're concerned that may happen again. We've had an abnormal amount of summer precipitation, more than we've ever had before. And these actually precipitated catastrophic events. And, for example, the Alberta case that was the most convective such storm we've had in our recorded history. Other storms produce more precipitation, but they distributed the precipitation over a wider area as opposed to that Alberta one, and we're concerned about why that actually happened. Mm-hmm. Those are just two examples.
And just to be clear, this is the tangible repercussion of global climate change?
Well, one of the things we're doing basically is actually, first of all, trying to understand what actually happened. And as you can understand that, then you can start to attribute what the factors that were that led to that. For example, the Alberta situation, it was extraordinarily warm in the U.S. Central Plains, and that led to a huge amount of evaporation. Mm-hmm. As to whether that heating was actually an effect of climate change, we still have to discern. Mm. The Manitoba cases, though, it is consistent with the hypothesis that we have a warming Arctic, and that means slower-moving systems. That is consistent with that notion.
Now, Daniel, once the data is compiled, your job is to look at the impact on government and individuals. So what are you thinking? When you see this data rolling in that Ronald was describing, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so, you know, we define some of the extremes in social terms as well, mm-hmm. in terms of the level of damage, when we trigger heat emergency situations, et cetera. But when we look at a global scale, we've seen the number of disaster events, weather-related disaster events that trigger reinsurance payouts have gone up 200 to 300% since about 1980. So that we also see in Canada. We've had, you know, prior to about 2005, only about 5 major events that were more than $500 million. Since 2009, every year has been above $1 billion. So we're seeing this trend that's unsustainable. We hope it doesn't continue. But we're seeing that there's more people, more stuff to get in the way, different extremes, and that's translating into big dollars.
It's interesting because you can boil it down to a dollar figure. That's very quantifiable, yeah. The impact. So what contingencies are you recommending to governments in light of that?
Two things. Well, the other part that we do want to look at is those unmonetized things like mental health and family breakups and other things that, as you said, we can quantify the insurance piece, but some of the other things, we kind of miss that out. So in terms of what we can do about it, you know, infrastructure we know is part of the problem. It's part of the solution. Greater investment in that, strategic types of investment. Canada is the only country in G8 country that doesn't have an overland flood insurance program. So the federal government is looking to work with insurers. How can we go about that so that we can spread the risk for individual families and homeowners that are hit by flood, and it's not as much of a liability on taxpayers? So there's a lot of different things we can do, but we're in the early stages of sorting some of those priorities out.
We've talked about floods, weather events such as major windstorms, lightning storms in recent years, but I understand that nothing has matched to this point the ice storm of 1998. What did that storm teach us?
That storm did teach us a lot, and we're still seeing that sort of resilience today. At the individual farmer level, people have emergency generators. They have backup wood stoves. Even in urban areas, the same thing. People are more prepared now than they were prior to that event. So those are the learning things. The hydro companies in Quebec and in Ontario learned a lot. They put breakaway arms on the big high-tension power lines so that the whole tower doesn't come down, just the arms. They put in more resilience, more redundancy, so that Montreal, which lost 4 of its 5 power lines, would have other ways to bring power in. So we've learned a lot, and that's a big part of what we would call sort of a social autopsy of these events. How are you better prepared for the next one?
It's interesting because you gentlemen are in town to talk climate change to politicians. What are your expectations coming out of today, Arnold?
Well, I think we'll have an audience which is very interested because I'll be talking about some of the recent events like the Toronto heavy rain and freezing rain events. I can talk a lot about the Ottawa and Montreal ice storm events, the Alberta. I'll talk about a catastrophic or major heat wave in the Vancouver area. And I'll probably talk about probably the worst forest fires the Northwest Territories have ever had. So basically pretty well every part of the country, including, of course, the Maritimes right now. So I think I'll have a very captured audience and trying to tell them some of the reasons why these things have actually happened.
Do you think you'll have receptive ears, Danny?
Yeah, and when we look at the number of people that have signed up for the event, it's full. Mm-hmm. It's very diverse, from Transport Canada to Environment Canada to a lot of different MPs. And I think just based on that diversity in the room, people recognize dealing with extreme weather is everybody's business.
But it's expensive.
It is, and that's partly why we need the deeper pockets of the federal government to help the municipalities. And the provinces and individual homeowners. It can't be just the provinces and municipalities. But I think everybody recognizes they have a role to play. We're still sorting out exactly how to coordinate that, I think.
It seems to me that preparing for bad weather is easier than reversing climate change.
They're part and parcel, but we know, the extremes are changing. Even without climate change, we would expect to have surprises in the weather, and we know that we have more people, more stuff to get in the way, so we know we would have impacts regardless.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Best of luck today. I really do hope you have receptive ears at your presentation in half an hour. Thank you for coming in early.
Thank you so much.
Daniel Scott is a professor of geography at the University of Waterloo, director of the school's Interdisciplinary Center on Climate Change. Ronald Stewart, a professor in the Department of Environment and Geography at the University of Manitoba, also a fellow of the Canadian Meteorological and Oceanographic Society. Long titles, important work. They're both going to Parliament Hill for a climate change talk presented by the Federation of the Humanities and Social Sciences. And again, at noon, they head over to Ottawa City Hall for an important briefing.